You say drink coffee, I'll drink coffee.
Cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee, please.
I was wondering if I might trouble you for a cup of strong black coffee.
Fellas, don't drink that coffee. Damn good coffee.
They sure like their coffee in Twin Peaks. That's a montage of caffeinated clips from the TV series. Twin Peaks aired for just two seasons, starting back in April 1990, but it's considered one of the greatest TV dramas ever made. It's certainly one of the most distinctive, with weird characters like the Log Lady and that dancing dwarf. Well, now, 27 years after it originally aired, Twin Peaks returns for a third season in May. Mark Frost created the show, along with the film director David Lynch. Frost is also a novelist, and he's just come out with The Secret History of Twin Peaks, a book as unique as the show. It's written as a secret dossier, assembled by a mysterious archivist and annotated by an anonymous FBI agent. It includes undiscovered diary entries from Lewis and Clark, newspaper articles from the Twin Peaks Gazette, and even the menu from the Double R Diner, where pies go to die. Doug Gordon sat down with Mark Frost to find out more.
There was a desire to just simply participate in some way in this world that we had created. It really was, I guess, what we now routinely call world building.
Yeah.
At a very fundamental level. And the place that we created had this advantage of feeling profoundly familiar on some levels, and also deeply strange.
Yeah.
So that there was an alignment of the mundane and the macabre. And I can't tell you how many people I've subsequently met who really want to live in this world. Dozens of people who actually moved up to the towns that we shot the show in all those years ago and went back to shoot in last year. That it was just simply something they felt a kinship to and were drawn to in a mysterious way. So the whole thing has a very strong sense of mystery to it. At a certain point, you just have to stand back and say, wow, this is really something.
It definitely is. Mark, now would be a great time to have you read an excerpt from The Secret History of Twin Peaks. I was thinking about the eulogy that the Log Lady reads at a memorial service. And if you could set it up, that would be great.
A dear friend of the Log Lady's and many people in town has passed away. They've had a memorial service on the shores of Pearl Lake. And at the end of the service, Margaret stands up to speak on behalf of her friend. And the notes in the book that are jotted down by the deceased's brother are the only record we have of what Margaret said. And this is his account. Margaret holds her log and looks around, really looks, for some time before speaking. This is now. And now will never be again. Blue sky, cool air, and green, green forests. Mountains, lakes, and streams. The wind. Water, earth, air and fire, red, yellow, purple and white. We come from the elemental and return to it. There is change, but nothing is lost. There is much we cannot see, air for instance, most of the time. But knowing our next breath will follow our last without fail is an act of faith, is it not? Dark times will always come as night follows day. A dark age will test us all, each and every one. Trust and do not tremble in the face of the unknown. It shall not remain unknown to you for long. Robert knows this now, as will we all in the sweet by and by.
That was great. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. I come from a long line of hams.
Yeah. Yeah, it's working for you. In the opening statement of your novel, The Archivist talks about the difference between mystery and secrets. And it seems to me that mystery and secrets are two of the major themes in both the Twin Peaks TV series and your novel. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I would say that the idea of mystery is something that is profoundly inherent in all of reality. It's a Joseph Campbell mystery as opposed to a murder mystery. It's a sense that there's something going on just beneath the surface of what we can perceive. It's really what people talk about, I guess, when they're talking about a spiritual sense of reality, that there's something evanescent and hard to grasp and very often seems just beyond our reach. But there are times in our lives when we catch glimpses of it.
Yeah. And UFOs, unidentified flying objects, also come up on more than one occasion. And why did you want to include so much UFO content?
Number one, we had dealt with it in a very particular and specific way in the second season of the show. So
right.
there was ground for it. Number two, it becomes a kind of stand-in for this idea of the mysterious experience. And as I delved pretty deep into UFO history, you quickly realize this is a phenomenon that goes back not just hundreds, but literally thousands of years. There's this very strange tradition in human storytelling of people being confronted or abducted or meeting beings that they have no explanation for understanding. I cite an example from the Bible that Ezekiel in the Old Testament sees this flaming chariot in the sky and talks of meeting these giants, the Elohim. It's a whole book of the Bible. Well, that's pretty weird.
That is very weird, yeah.
And then I uncovered in the 19th century, there were a huge string of accounts of people all over the West and the Midwest seeing what they described as giant airships floating across the sky. Now, this is well before the Wright brothers had ever been up there. But these stories are legion, and not all of them have been debunked. It's a mysterious and persistent part of human existence, and it's not just in our culture. It appears to be fairly universal.
You mentioned that what we call the UFO experience, it raises the question in my mind, should we have a different name for it? Like, what would you call this if, you know, going further back, pre the Wright brothers and things, should we come up with some sort of name to describe this kind of experience?
Well, I mean, in the 19th century in England, they called it the spirit world. They called it encounters with fairies or elves. Or in Germany, they were kobolds or trolls or dwarves that lived in the mountains. Even when we were up in Washington filming, we were out in some Native people land, and Michael Horse, who's a member of the cast and a Native American himself, took me aside and said that the Native people had told him one of the forests where we were shooting was where the little people showed up. So this idea is persistent. We Americans have a tendency to think we know everything because we have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
But there's different kinds of knowledge.
You also weave conspiracy theories into the secret history of Twin Peaks very artfully, and these conspiracy theories really add to the narrative drive of your story. Why do you think we're so drawn to conspiracy theories?
Well, I've thought about this a lot because, you know, I was 10 years old when JFK was shot. He was buried on my 10th birthday.
Huh.
And for 4 years, I was obsessed with getting to the bottom of this. And there's a whole worldwide industry on who killed JFK, that it became a kind of alternate way of looking at the world. And that was the first time when I was ever really particularly aware that we didn't just have to depend on conventional or authoritative voices, that there were perhaps other ways of viewing it. I think a lot of conspiracy theories arise out of the notion that something as momentous as, say, the murder of a young and vigorous and shining example of American political history could be taken out by somebody as small and as insignificant and as stupid as a Lee Harvey Oswald. So that gave rise to this idea, but it can't have been him.
Yeah.
It had to have been something more momentous. It had to have been something that ran much deeper.
That it can't be random. There's got to be some underlying meaning. It's kind of just sort of the way our minds are wired, right, to detect these patterns and make sense of the world.
Exactly. Once that gets started, once the ball gets rolling, it's pretty hard to stop.
Yeah, definitely. I was surprised to learn that you and David Lynch were originally going to set Twin Peaks in North Dakota. Is that right?
That was a very early idea. David had lived in the Northwest growing up, and I think we wisely shifted it to the west a few hundred miles pretty early on, I would say in the first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. And you wanted to go to the Pacific Northwest because, well, you talked about this earlier, that it was a place that hadn't really been represented much in popular media, and there was an aura of mystery about that area.
Yeah, and also it was that place that Thomas Jefferson sent Lewis and Clark. It was kind of the last unexplored frontier on the continent.
Yeah.
It's actually true that he did give Lewis some secret instructions. There were rumors that they might find mammoths roaming that part of the world, or that there might be a tribe of giants that lived there. There was a whole strange rumor at that time that there was a tribe of unknown origin of white Native Americans who spoke Welsh.
Yeah.
There was all sorts of strange things that were included. And as we know, Jefferson had a little bit of interest in the esoteric himself.
Final question. What do you think is the legacy of Twin Peaks, the television series?
Boy, it's a hard one for me to answer, because other than that it touched in some way on some kind of truth that spoke to a lot of people. If you work creatively for a living, sure, you want to entertain people and you want to make them laugh and you want to make them cry and you want to tell them a story that keeps them on the edge of their seat. But to go back to the Joseph Campbell idea of the function of a storyteller in a culture is that it's our job to keep mythology alive for people. It's akin to what shamans did in first world cultures. They kept alive the mysteries of the past, and that somehow enlivened the present. And I like to think that at its best, that's what storytellers do for our culture now.
Mark Frost is the author of The Secret History of Twin Peaks. He's the co-creator, along with David Lynch, of the TV series. And the third season of Twin Peaks will debut in May.